Good morning,
Gerald and Voice.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all. Some of you back again with us. And I trust the Lord will meet with us today as we gather around His Word. Now, Jonah, we haven't got too far into the book yet. The reason for that is there's so much in God's Word. So much in God's Word. I've noticed, you know, of late, that when you buy something in the shop, very often it comes in a big box. But when you open it, you have to look away down to the bottom to find the actual product that you've purchased. Big box, but a small content. That's a man's way of doing things. But it's not God's. When you open the Bible, it's brimming full of truth and blessings. And so it is in the book of Jonah. We haven't got too far. But there's so much, even in the few verses we have read. We're reading verses 1 to 3 again, just to remind you. For I know that you're nearly as bad as me when it comes to memory. You forget. All right, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now that was God's word to Jonah. Wasn't hard to understand, sure it wasn't. Jonah didn't have to scratch his head and say, I wonder what God means. And when you hear God speak in His Word, you don't have to scratch your head. The verse of Scripture that I was converted through, I had never seen in the Bible. I'd never seen it. It was just quoted to me. But when the Lord brought it home upon my heart, I knew what it meant. Didn't know where it was in the Bible. But I knew what it meant. That's how it is with God's Word, boys and girls. It's not hard to understand. Don't let anybody tell you that God speaks in such a fashion that you can't understand Him. Man's problem is he understands only too well what God's saying, and he doesn't want to hear it. So here's the message God gives to Jonah. Well, Jonah knew what God wanted, all right, because the next verse shows that in his foolishness he refused to do what God commanded him. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, last Tuesday, just a couple of days ago, we were considering the simple truth of man's folly. His folly in thinking that he's wiser than God. Because that's what made Jonah do what he did. He thought that what God wanted him to do was foolish. He didn't want to do it. He thought he had a better idea. Not go, not obey God, and run away. That was much better. And that shows how foolish men can be. Even good men. For Jonah was a good man. He was a good man. The Lord Jesus said of himself that he was greater than Jonah. Now, by his saying that, he's telling us that Jonah was a great man, but that he, the Savior, was greater still. But even great men, if they disobey God, act most foolish. Now, we're going to go a little further today in the will of the Lord, and the first thing we're going to notice is where human wisdom will take you. Where did Jonah's wise thinking take him? Well, verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. That's where it took him. Took him away from God. And he was heading, first of all, to Joppa, which was a port on the shore of Israel. And there he hoped to catch a boat and sail for far off Tarshish. Now, it's always interesting to think about the meaning of word in the Bible. And if we think about the meaning of the name Joppa, we'll find instruction. The word Joppa means beautiful.
Now, I have been in Joppa,
and it's a beautiful part of Israel. Beautiful seashore situation. So Jonah, it seemed a very beautiful place to go in order to start getting away from the Lord. Just how beautiful the word Joppa is seen in that it's a word that's employed to depict the beauty of Christ.
The Hebrew word that we have here in our English Bible, translated Joppa,
is a word that is related to the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'll quickly give you one reference. I have a number of references in which we find this truth set forth, but let me give you one. Psalm 45 and the verse 2. Psalm 45 and the verse 2.
Well, look at verse 1 so that we get the context.
Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. That's a reference to the Lord Jesus. He's the king that's spoken of there. And he's fairer than the children of men. That word fairer, that's Joppa. That's the same word as is used of the town or the city that Jonah was running to. So you see how it's linked with beauty. And you know, when we're setting out to disobey God, the place to which we're going seems very beautiful. Very beautiful. Getting away from God. How beautiful that appears to be. And how beautiful Joppa would have appeared to Jonah in his disobedience as he sought to get away from the Lord. Now, we are told that he's not just going to Joppa, that's the first stop. He's heading for Tarshish. And the word Tarshish means beryl, which is a reference to a semi-precious stone. A semi-precious stone. Now, that stone can be traced in the Bible to one of the stones that appeared in the breastplate of the high priest. And it represented the tribe of Asher. You see, the high priest on his breastplate had 12 stones, all representing a tribe of Israel. And the name was inscribed on the stone. It pictures, just by the way, it pictures how the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, who is even at this very moment appearing before God, before the Father, praying for us, and our names are presented in prayer. They're presented in prayer. And as I say, one of the stones was the stone beryl, which is related to the name Tarshish. And do you know what it means? Happy. It means happy. It's the stone that represents the tribe of Asher. And how did Asher get its name? Well, let me read to you from the book of Genesis, chapter 30 and the verse 13. You older ones can look it up. This is what we read concerning the birth of Asher. His mother Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. So when she had a wee boy, she was so happy. And she registered her happiness by calling her son Asher, which means happy. And that name is related to the stone beryl, which in turn is related to the name of the city, Tarshish. And again, I want you to understand that Jonah considered it a most happy thing to get away from what it was God wanted him to do. He was happy at the prospect of getting away from God. Happy. Boys and girls, throughout the ages, those who, like Jonah, are trying to get away from God, think that it's a beautiful thing, think that it's a happy thing. I can remember in my young days, when I went to church. Now, the church wasn't a very wonderful church. It wasn't a very plain gospel-preaching church. But nevertheless, the Word of God was read, and references were made to God, and made to man's sinfulness. And when the service came to an end, and you always knew when it was coming to an end, for the old rector had a sort of a ritual, and you knew
It's about to end as he entered into this ritual and then pronounced the benediction, and you knew it was over. And how happy I was to get out. I felt a sense of relief at getting out. And I have no doubt, maybe some of you here on the Sabbath day, when the service ends and the benediction is pronounced and you're getting out, there's a happiness in your heart. Well, I want to tell you, it's a sinful happiness, a sad happiness. It's the same happiness that there would have been in Jonah's heart as he ran away from the Lord. This is where following your thinking, following your wisdom, will take you. It'll take you to a place of false beauty, a place that looks attractive. It'll take you to a place of empty happiness, untrue happiness, not genuine happiness. And we know in the story of Jonah that's what happened. He didn't find any beauty in Joppa. He didn't find any happiness in trying to get to Tarshish. Let me come to the second point I want to make this morning, and it's this. There is a price to be paid for such foolishness. You cannot act as Jonah acted and get away with it. There's a price to be paid. Look what it says there in the verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. He was in a hurry, didn't delay, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. Now here he's parting with money in order to get to Tarshish. You know, if you want to disobey God, you'll always find an opportunity. When Jonah got to Joppa, wanting to get a ship to go to Tarshish, there was a ship about to go to Tarshish. He didn't arrive in Joppa and there wasn't a boat to be seen. No, there was a boat. And it was making preparation to sail. You'll find an open door if you want to disobey God. Just you think on this. He found a ship. And I'm sure that when he came and found the ship, he said to himself, there you are, this is the right thing for me to do. Sure, here's a boat. This seems to confirm what it is I'm trying to do. But boys and girls, because you can find opportunity to disobey God doesn't mean that it's right to disobey God. There's a wonderful story, and I love this particular record. It's in Acts chapter 27. Paul is a prisoner. They're taking him to Rome to stand trial, and part of the journey entails catching a boat. But Paul was warned of God that it was late in the season for sailing. It had come to the time of the year when on the Mediterranean Sea you were likely to run into a storm. So Paul warned them, it's not a wise thing for us to sail at the present time. Now doubtless there were many there among the ship's crew, the ship's captain, the soldiers that were guarding him and taking him to Rome. They probably all thought, yeah, we know what you're getting at, Paul. You're just trying to put off going to jail. You're trying to scare us into not sailing. But Paul wasn't trying to promote his own well-being. Paul was thinking of the ship, the sailors, the soldiers, when he warned them. In the verse 13 of Acts chapter 27, as they're debating the matter, the south wind blew softly. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close by Crete. Even as Paul was speaking and warning, the south wind began to blow nice and gently. And the sailor said, there you are, what are you talking about? A storm. Look at how gentle the wind is, and it's the very wind we want. It's the very wind we want. It'll take us on our journey. So much for you and your warnings. I tell you, when you want to disobey God, you will find the door open. And you may even see circumstances that seem to suggest you're doing the right thing. But if you read on in Acts chapter 27, we read that soon after there arose a mighty wind called Euryclidon. And for days and nights on end, they were tossed about. They threw everything overboard to try and keep afloat. And then after many days and nights,
They sighted land,
and they were wrecked on the shores of the island of Malta. Ship was broken up. By the mercy of God, everybody escaped. But that indicates that there are times, if you want to disobey God and ignore His warnings, the door seems to be open for you to do just that, and it seems to be the right thing for you to do, but it'll end in wreckage. It'll end in wreckage. Ask Jonah.
Oh, there was the boat just waiting for him, it seemed. And he pays the fare, and he gets into it.
But he lost his investment. He paid the fare. I don't know what it would have cost him. I'm sure it would have cost him a pretty penny, as we say. But he never got anything for his money. He never went to Tarshish. He never arrived in Tarshish. Instead, there came a storm. Well, you know the story. And he ended up in the belly of the whale, down in the depths of the ocean. No, he lost his investment. And I want to tell you, boys and girls, if you put forth energy and effort to get away from God and disobey God, it'll not pay you. There's people who spend their life trying to get away from God, and they lose their whole life. All their labours and toils, it all comes to nothing. Nothing. When it comes to the harvest of their life, there's not one blade growing in the field, as it were. There's nothing to harvest but ruin and grief and sorrow. And then again, look at the company he finds himself in. Every wee word in God's truth is to be noted, boys and girls. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down to it to go with them. Them. Who were his company? Were they godly men? Was this good company for Jonah to be in? No. Because if you read verse 5, you're told just who the men were. Verse 5 says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Who were they? They were poor, blinded pagans. Poor, blinded idolaters who didn't know God. And when trouble came, they were praying to their gods. Maybe some of them pulled out of their pocket a wee image of their gods. And they were praying to the image. That's the sort of company backsliding would bring you into. In Luke chapter 22 and the verse 55, you have Peter running away from the Lord, disobeying the Lord, backsliding. The Saviour has been arrested. He has been brought to the house of the high priest to be tried and abused and mocked. And Peter has sort of shuffled along in the crowd at a distance. And we read in verse 55 of Luke chapter 22, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. That's the crowd he was with. The enemies of the Lord Jesus, the persecutors of the Lord Jesus, the haters of the Lord Jesus. He's among them. He's sitting down among them. This is where backsliding will take you, boys and girls. It'll take you into evil company. You refuse to do what God would have you to do. If you decide to disobey God, well, you'll find company, all right. You'll find those ready to embrace you. But they're evil-minded people. And you're now going on a path that's not good. Oh, boys and girls, take heed. When the Lord speaks to you, obey Him. Because when the Lord speaks to you, He's opening a door to joy, to happiness, to prosperity, to goodness. Never refuse to go through the door of obedience to God. Well, may the Lord bless His word to all of your hearts today and bless you much. Let's bow in prayer. We ask the Lord to meet with us. Bless your word, please. Print it on our hearts, Lord. And may we learn its lesson and never forget it. Bless our school today. Meet its needs. Do remember those who need a touch from thyself at this time. O God, answer prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.